flying VFR into air venture for the first time. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Coming to you from the corner of 37th and Lindbergh and Camp Scholer at Whitman Regional Airport, today, my guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot. We like to get together and chat with Bob each Monday on safety-related issues. We're going to kind of deviate from that a little bit and go off on a tangent because I want to talk to Bob about his arrival here at Oshkosh for EAA AirVenture. Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Well, good afternoon, Paul. It's always such a joy to meet you out here in the beautiful fresh air and the smell of 100-octane low-lead waffling over and the sound of helicopters and F-18s whizzing by. It's just a great treat to be out here this time every year.
Well, and thanks for the lemonade. You normally have flown IFR into Oshkosh in the past, and you call that your big secret. You really didn't want a whole lot of people to know about the advantages of doing that, so it wouldn't get too crowded. This year, you ended up flying in VFR. So when was the last time before this year that you joined that conga line in from Fisk?
Never. This was the first time in many years of coming to Oshkosh. I don't know. I've heard the official count, Paul, and you probably know, is up quite a bit this point in the show than years past. And that was evident when I went to make my IFR reservation, which is available up to 72 hours prior to Saturday the 24th, essentially the beginning start weekend of it. And I couldn't get a reservation, an IFR reservation. So I filed the IFR to Sheboygan, which is just on the western side of Lake Michigan, with the intention of canceling IFR and then coming in the rest of the way VFR, which I did. And I want to tell you, it is one exciting adventure coming in that way. It's perfectly safe. You just have to pay attention, but it's an eye-opening experience.
Well, now you're in a 210. I know I had the experience to fly part of that route in because I was flying in a plane just to check it out yesterday, and we ended up, you know, if you're going to come back to Oshkosh, you have to come back that way. And the thing that looked odd to me after years of being taught to see and avoid was intentionally getting in a fairly close spacing, one behind the other, and yet they seemed to pull it off.
Well, the NOTAM calls for 1/2 mile spacing, and they draw elaborate maps, very easy to follow maps, a railroad track from Ripon to Fisk, and then Fisk following a roadway or another railroad track, if you will, to the airport. And as long as everybody pays attention, at 1,800 feet, we need to be at about 90 knots, and if we can't go that slow, we climb to 2,300 feet and go about 130 knots. And I decided to lower the gear, lower the flaps, and come in at 90 knots. And it was a fairly intense period when I came in, and we were nose to tail, and everybody was about 1/2 mile apart. But you have to be aware of somebody slipping in from the side or not paying attention. But the procedures are all there. If you're losing spacing, you just break out of the conga line and double back around to your starting point, which might be Fisk, and then get back in line again.
Well, now, one of the things that has to come up, not everybody who has an antique airplane or a kit plane comes in a mass arrival. So sometimes you're going to wind up in that conga line with a bunch of people who... I was hearing ATC say 90 knots if able. If able that slow. I happen to be building an aircraft in my garage for which that's close to VNE. Right. Did you encounter any of that or see any of that going on?
No, I didn't. It was pretty routine when I came in this morning. Now, I have done this a number of times at Sun and Fun, and there the arrivals always seem to be VFR and always get into a nose-to-tail situation. But it's the ultimate in heads-up flying. Just pay attention, see and avoid. And it is a big sky, but nonetheless, we're all paying attention. And I want to tell you, it all works because of outstanding air traffic control. These gentlemen and ladies are they're the best of the best that work Oshkosh. I'm told you have to be the best of the best to qualify to come up here and do this duty. They volunteer for this duty. They get paid, I'm sure, but they volunteer for the assignment. And they are absolute pros. I mean, they can spot make, model of an airplane 15 miles out with a set of binoculars and call you a Beech 55, rock your wings, or Cessna 210, whatever. And they know the airplane, they know they're talking to you, and your acknowledgement is a simple rocking of the wings. And it all works beautifully.
We're here with Bob Miller at Camp Scholer. We'll be back with more in a moment from EAA AirVenture. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
Can't make it to Oshkosh this year? Teledyne Continental Motors is offering exclusive web discounts on factory new and rebuilt engines for the first 50 engines ordered now through August 2nd for any engine owner unable to attend AirVenture. Check out www.genuinecontinental.aero or call 888-221-6442 for a quote.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller at the campsite of EAA Chapter 46 from Buffalo, New York at Whitman Regional Airport. And Bob, we were talking about the VFR arrival into Oshkosh. After you get in the conga line and get that part straightened out and accomplished, then you come down to the point where they tell you to land on a colored dot. Now, that to me sounds like if you are at all rusty, is not something you ought to be trying in this environment.
Well, it's not only pick the color dot, it's pick the runway. This morning they were landing on 27, 36 right, and 36 left simultaneously. Three runways simultaneously, and then on 3 to 5 different dots on each runway. So the arrival sequence is in, I don't know how many aircraft were coming in per hour, but it was quite intense. There again, see and avoid. Watch the gentleman in front of you. Watch that aircraft stay, keep the spacing there where you need to be. And always be prepared to exit stage left, stage right, or climb. I call it the back door. Where am I going to go if the guy in front of me decides to land too short and I can't stop? I've got to know where I'm going to go, and I'm ready with the power to go up and go around. And ATC, again, is very accommodating. If that should happen, they'll give you a heading to fly, and you just come back around and do it again. It's a remarkable safety record. And Oshkosh sometimes gets a bad rap because people are intimidated or perhaps fearful of coming in here. But if you have a couple of hundred hours under your belt and you're pretty proficient, then by all means come in and do it. It's an experience that everybody should try and do.
Is there anything in particular you're going to try to see while you're here this year?
I like the new aircraft. You were talking with me about the new Sonics, personal jet. Anything that's new on the market today fascinates me. I'm always also going to the workshops or the forums. I like to do that. But I think the greatest fun here at Oshkosh is just seeing some folks I haven't seen for a year. It's a great big family, even folks from our own home community. This is the first time we're out here with over 75 people from Buffalo under one campsite. And I want to tell you, it's a real rewarding experience just to sit under the trees and just soak it all in.
We were hearing from EAA sources that they actually have some flush toilets here this year at Camp Schuller.
Well, I don't think that was ever high on our list of expectations out here. As long as they have some sort of facilities for us, we're happy.
All right. Let's talk about what's coming up in the August issue of Over the Airwaves, which will be delayed a little bit because you're going to do daily emails to people on your list from here. But tell us a couple of the topics that are coming up in the August edition that we'll be talking about later in the month.
Well, it's always safety issues. We always take about three different events, unfortunate accidents that people have encountered, and then try to learn from them. For example, continuing on when we have failed equipment. We had an individual that we reported on this the coming of this month was flying along and had discovered that he had lost his attitude indicator and he was in VFR conditions. Well, as fate would have it, he found himself in IFR conditions now with the same broken attitude indicator and unfortunately lost his life. And, you know, pressing on when we shouldn't press on. Most of the stuff has to do with just safety topics. We're talking about flag waving as our headline issue. You know, we do a lot of flag waving in general aviation. You know, this is a great celebration out here. But I think we sometimes lose sight of the fact that all of the advances that we experience in aviation have come through the tragic losses of some poor soul, some poor pilot who paid the ultimate price. And I think that we should pause every time we get together as a community just to recognize those people and not lose sight of the fact that if this thing is nothing at all, it's got to be safe. Mm-hmm. And safety is job one, and we have to work hard, all of us, including our big membership organizations. We have to stop waving the flag long enough to actually get out and implore us pilots to pay attention, take that training, get involved in the WINGS program, do something to improve your proficiency.
Well, I know one of the topics, too, Bob, is you're going to be somewhat critical of the status of the master accreditation programs that are now, obviously, there are a couple of them competing with each other, but we want to get together with you and talk about that later this week before you leave AirVenture.
Yes, I have a headline that says, here a master, there a master, everywhere a master. You know, the master moniker or designation should be reserved for the very best of the best. And unfortunately now we have two organizations. We have the original NAFI, National Association of Flight Instructors. They're still promoting their master's program. They have a spinoff, Joanne and Sandy Hill, from that organization that created Master Instructor LLC. And they're putting out their own form of a Master Instructor accreditation, and they're doing it at different levels. So it almost appears now, unless we get our acts together, as long as we're able to come up with a hefty application fee, almost anybody can put in his paperwork or her paperwork to become a master something or another in aviation. And I think it's incumbent upon us in the field to, let's get together, let's recognize what these credentials really mean, and see if we can put out a unified effort from the flight training community. I'm not sure that that's going to happen, frankly. We have a lot of egos involved, a lot of bad feelings over some issues in the past. I don't know if that's going to happen, but the ultimate hurt, if you will, are going to be the pilots themselves. What does this designation mean if we're competing, seeing who can award more of these designations than the other? I don't think this is a good situation.
Well, we'll try to examine that in a little greater depth, maybe with a couple of guests when we get together next. Bob, thanks as always, and we'll look forward to seeing you again throughout the week here.
Thanks, Paul. My pleasure.
You can find Bob Miller's writings over the airwaves at overtheairwaves.com. You'll also find a link there to Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.